Well, good morning. It is Thursday, and that means we're back on our regular schedule here on Perspectives on WFSU Public Media. I'm Tom Flanagan. Thank you so much for tuning in and being a part of the program, and you can become even more of a part of it if you'd like by giving us a call at 850-414-1234 or sending us an email, perspectives@wfsu.org. Just over a year ago, Tallahassee got a brand new mayor. His name is John Daly. And of course, that was a familiar name to anyone who'd been following what was going on right across the street at the Leon County Courthouse, where he had been a member of that commission for quite a number of years, and he is now the mayor of Tallahassee and no stranger to these microphones, so we welcome him back. Mr. Mayor, how the heck you doing?
Tom, it is great to be back. You know, I'm a huge fan of the show. You do great work. The station does great work in the community. Thank you so much.
Well, let's first, before we get into, because God, you guys had a busy night at the Tallahassee City Commission
we've
meeting.
We've had a busy year.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, there has been a lot going on. But right. Let's just get your 30,000-foot overview before we start digging into the piece parts of that,
sure,
okay?
Sure. Now, you're right. We had a really busy night last night, and I remind everybody, last night was busy, but if you think about it, a year ago last night at our first regularly scheduled commission meeting, I had to make the announcement that one of our colleagues had been removed from office, and the four of us, three, which literally our first meeting, and we were brand new, had to go through one of the most important processes in municipal government, which was selecting who the next commissioner would be that would serve out the rest of that term. And again, besides passing the budget and the major issues, it is one of the most important issues that we faced. And I'm proud to say that we hit the ground running. We worked really hard. We set up a very transparent process to be able to move forward. We selected Commissioner Bryant, who has turned out to be just a rock star on the city commission. And I got to tell you, I love working with my colleagues. Yeah, we have some differences. We approach issues differently. But we have got a great team, and we're moving forward. It's been a tremendous year.
Well, I remember that meeting distinctly because we covered it through the entire warp and woof, and the number of applicants who had put in for the position that is now occupied by Commissioner Bryant was long. You folks had a lot of vetting to go through. There were some trampled feelings at the end of that, but it certainly has seemed to coalesce since then. But still, you got, I guess, the specter of your former colleague, Scott Maddox, still kind of hanging over the commission. There's still allegations that there are some untoward things going on at City Hall. So back to last night. You folks went ahead and you adopted a new ethics enforcement policy, essentially, for city government.
Yes, sir. I will never be one to shy away from the fact that we've had some difficult years in the past couple of years at City Hall. And I think that that's one of the reasons why you saw a clean sweep of newly elected members of the city commission. And we hit the ground running. We know the challenges before us, and we have embraced them. When it comes to ethics reform, we said from day one that we were going to work hard with the ethics board, that we were going to come up with an ethics reform package that was second to none, something that this community could be proud of, wrap their arms around, and celebrate. And we actually did that last night. It was wonderful to see people from the community coming and testifying and actually saying thank you. Thank you for stepping up to the plate in passing the ethics reform package. Under the leadership of the chairman of the ethics board, Richard Herring, and the hard work of the ethics board, they made their recommendations. We spent several months vetting those recommendations, adding new recommendations in. I am proud to say that City Commission delivered on our promise last night. We passed the strongest ethics reform package in the history of the city of Tallahassee. And quite honestly, Tom, I'm checking right now. If it is not the strongest, it is one of the strongest ethics reform packages of any municipal government in the state of Florida. Why? It's what the citizens deserve. Quite frankly, it's what the citizens want. We are going to lead by example. Issues like full financial disclosure. Municipal officials are not required by state law to do so. We have taken the extra step to do so. We talk about a zero gift policy. It's what is expected. Lead by example. We expanded the jurisdiction of the Ethics Board. We put teeth into the Ethics Board. We're giving them the tools and the resources that they need to do their job as approved by the charter referendum by the citizens of Tallahassee. So I'm real proud of the actions of everybody that was involved. I'm proud of the actions of the Ethics Board and the recommendations that they made. I'm proud of my colleagues and the City Commission for stepping up to the plate and doing what's right. And we did take a moment last night and celebrate the fact that we did pass in law the strongest ethics reform package in the history of the city.
Certainly, there are no perfect defenses against someone who is determined to do wrong. But do you think there are more safeguards now against a subsequent member of the city commission or other high-ranking official benefiting at public expense, essentially?
You are correct. You cannot legislate to a situation where you will prevent any and all bad apples from bad actions. But what you can do is start on a level playing field where everybody understands the rules, everybody understands what the expectations are, and to be able to move forward in that manner. That is what we have done.
What's the situation with Julie Meadows Keefe? What now?
Well, I that's not for me to comment because she is an employee of the Ethics Board, not the city of Tallahassee. And so it's a personnel issue that they're dealing with.
All right. Some other things going on, though. You got a big hole in the ground down where Doobie Osley's law firm used to be. There are some new developments there. What's the latest with that Washington Square development, and where we go from here with that thing?
Well, Tallahassee is open for business, and there is nobody that is more excited to see that parcel of land being redeveloped than the mayor of Tallahassee, myself. And I'm excited about what the plan is and how to move forward. When you have developments of this magnitude, they are not easy. When you look at the complications of how to move these projects forward, they're difficult. It takes all of us to continuously roll up our sleeves and to move the ball forward. I'm very proud of the City Commission and the previous City Commission for our commitment to this project. Tom, if you think about it, when it was first proposed, the previous City Commission, as the downtown CRA, committed $6.5 million in tax credits upon completion of the project, one of the largest allocations in the history of the downtown CRA. They expedited the permitting process to get the cranes up and running and get construction going. They gave free access to about 30,000 square feet of the public garage next door so that we can keep the construction going and allowed them that access for several years. The city, we decided, this commission, to sell the easement to the development, make sure that we can move forward. We sold them the air rights above the garage so that we would never build up and block the view of a hotel window. So we have been great community partners, and we look forward to this project coming to fruition.
What's the latest you've heard on it there? Are they, it's still sitting there and nothing's going on.
Well, we had a great conversation last night, and the conversation was, should the city of Tallahassee sell a public asset, the public garage, to the developer? We decided at this time that's not the action that we wanted to take. Of course, if they need assistance with parking, we can always lease them some spaces that might be available. But we do have a need for public parking downtown, and that was the decision of the commission. I fully expect that with the sale of the air rights and the sale of the easement, as we agreed upon, that we will see the cranes moving and construction going again, and I'm really excited.
Tallahassee Mayor John Daly, our guest on Perspectives, and we are at 850-414-1234. If you have a comment or a question for the mayor, you may also drop us an email, perspectives@wfsu.org. We got a new police chief, by gosh. It wasn't your call. It was Reese Goads, but welcome, Chief Gilliam.
First of all, let me tell you, Major Revel and Major Scott, which were the other two finalists that are currently with Tallahassee Police Department, are fine gentlemen. I am appreciative of them throwing their name in the hat and going through the process. I am so thankful for their service to this community, to the Tallahassee Police Department, and they will continue to serve with Tallahassee Police Department in their capacity, and they're doing a great job. I am thrilled that Antonio Gilliam is going to become our next police chief. He is from Tallahassee. He grew up on the South Side. He graduated from Rickards High School. He graduated from Florida State University. He spent 18 years up until right now with the St. Petersburg Police Department, which is a little bit larger than our police department. So he has experience with departments our size and communities our size. He is currently the assistant police chief in St. Petersburg, and he will become our police chief. He is a 21st century leader. He is data-driven. He has incredible interpersonal skills. He's got a great relationship with the sheriff. He has the full backing of the police department and of the city of Tallahassee, and we cannot wait. This is part of the transformational change that you will continue to hear me talk about, of being able to move this forward. I will be the first to admit, just like other communities across this country, that we have public safety issues that we have to address head on. We have violent crime issues that we have to address head on. And starting brand new in January of 2020, we've got the right leader that's going to be able to move this community forward, work with the city commission, work with the county, the school board, the sheriff. I couldn't be more excited.
And we'll announce here that we are going to have Chief Gilliam on Perspectives here coming up after he gets back in harness at Tallahassee Police Headquarters, which, by the way, we're going to have a new one of those, too.
We are.
Before too terribly long. Those meetings have gone pretty well this week.
Absolutely. And this is part of the strategy. I mean, if we're going to make major differences in this community, we've got to take bold steps. The police department, where it currently serves on 7th Avenue, is outdated. We're busting at the seams. And it is time to build a 21st century state-of-the-art police station here in Tallahassee to serve this community. We've narrowed it down to two parcels, one on Lake Bradford Road. Obviously, the Northwood Center is a very popular parcel as well. We had two incredible community meetings where people came out, learned what some of the ideas were, put their own ideas on the table as well. And we shortly should have a solid decision on where the new police station is going to go. It's really, look, with all of the challenges that we face, it is very exciting. And I always keep the positive outlook for this community. We're making bold steps. We are addressing these issues head on, and we will make a difference.
We are talking to the mayor here on Perspectives. Mayor John Daly of the City of Tallahassee, your input is always welcome as well at 850-414-1234. We'll be right back. We are back on Perspectives with Mayor John Daly of the City of Tallahassee. A reminder, you can always find the program online at WFSU.org. Just go to our homepage, click on radio, pull down the local programs menu, and then hit Perspectives. We archive past shows, try to have the most recent one that you've heard on the radio up within 24 hours of when it actually airs. So you can listen again and again and again.
Tom, I got to jump in.
Sure.
Because the smell is killing me. You got an employee chili competition in the lobby, and you've got about a dozen different chilies out there. I'm wondering when we're going to get a sample while we're on the air.
Well, I'm thinking that mayoral input is very critical to this decision here as we go through the cook-off process.
Well, I could tell you it's going to be a tie. I think it's cool that the employees are doing that. That's great.
We do a lot of community-oriented fundraisers here at the station, and I really got to extend props to David Mullins, our general manager, and Kim Kelling, our director of content, for setting those things up. And it keeps morale cooking and all that, literally,
no pun,
in the case
no pun
of
intended.
The
no pun intended.
Cook-off. Yeah. Well, we have something else. Since you are... And I, you must forgive me, Mr. Mayor, but I always identify you as a fellow wonk. You are so public policy oriented when it comes to decision making and building consensus and trying to get all sides of an issue looked at comprehensively before you move forward on something. At least that has been your style in the past on the county commission and now as a mayor. But you've got one coming up here that's going to be kind of interesting too. What do we do about the ongoing preemptive initiatives coming out of the Florida legislature? It looks like we're going to have some more, and we are now embroiled in that revisitation of the legislature holds all the cards when it comes to any kind of firearm proscription, and you're involved in that. Your name is sure. right there prominently in the legal matter.
Sure. Well, first of all, I do agree with you. I do love to dig into the issues, and I do consider myself a little bit of a policy wonk. By no means am I the smartest person in the room, though. And I am blessed to work with some extremely intelligent individuals that help the entire commission through these issues. Preemption is one of those issues that we have been dealing with for decades. I mean, it's one of the traditional fights between local governments, whether it's a county government, a municipal government, a school board, or a special district for that matter, in the state legislature. It is a different philosophical approach. I obviously strongly support home rule authority, which is in the Florida Constitution. When you have 412 municipalities across the state of Florida, self-governance on the local level is so important because what's right for Tallahassee might not be right for Tampa or Miami or Fort Lauderdale or Pensacola or Jacksonville or Hawthorne, Florida. And it's important that we elect the right leaders on the local level that is closest to the people to be able to make decisions that is right for their community. When we come out with blanket preemptions that impact every municipality the same way, it has a detrimental effect, no matter what the issue is. Gun control is one of those issues, obviously. You know, for the longest time, municipalities and counties had their own gun control measures on the books, whether it was, you know, gun control in regards to municipal parks and, you know, kids' activities or, you know, what you can and cannot do. And I am a true believer, and I'd be quite honest, I don't think you're going to find a local elected official that doesn't believe in home rule authority. But it's one thing to just go and fight. And that seems to be the nature of politics from the federal level all the way down. And I'm not a believer in that. I believe in true statesmanship. Develop the relationships. Find the common ground. Work together on these issues. Yes, there are going to be times when you just simply have to shake hands and say, we have to agree to disagree. But I do believe that as a society, we have so much more in common than what divides us. And even when it does divide us, let's do it in a civil manner. Just because we disagree doesn't mean I have to destroy you politically or you have to try to destroy me politically. That's how the system is supposed to work. You think back in the days when President Reagan and Tip O'Neill, who was the Speaker of the House of Representatives, they were dear friends and obviously on opposite sides of the aisle. They would debate issues till they're red in the face, and then they would shake hands and go have dinner together. I think that from an American society, not just here in the state of Florida, there's something to be said about bringing back statesmanship and true diplomacy in how we work. I have made it a mission to repair the relationship between the city of Tallahassee and the governor's office, and I'm pleased to have a great working relationship with Governor DeSantis and his team, all the members of the cabinet, the leaders of the legislature. We've got a dynamic legislative delegation. The relationship between the city, the county, and the school board has never been stronger, and in the first time in over 30 years, the chairman of the county commission, the county administrator, the mayor and the city manager, the chairperson of the school board and the superintendent, we sit down on a regular basis to talk about issues. First and foremost, it starts with the relationships, and then you move forward on common ground, and then you continue to work on those issues and try to create common ground where at first you might disagree. I think also when you see a trend of more local officials getting elected on the state level, that will have a positive impact as well because they have served on the local level. They understand the need for home rule authority. And I'm hopeful that will also play a positive role.
Following up on that and circling back around to the crime situation, Governor sure. DeSantis has come out and said, hey, maybe FDLE could help the city of Tallahassee or any other municipality or local government with its crime situation. What do you think?
You know, I've had people come to me and a couple people are like, oh, I can't believe the governor took a shot at you. And, you know, and then but I take a different approach. You know, if you look at what the governor said, and I appreciate his comments, first of all, you know, I apologize. We got a fire station 3 blocks from the governor's mansion. I'm sure he does hear the fire trucks coming and going. But nonetheless, it's the 21st century, and I appreciate the creative, open-minded approach to issues. Let's sit down and have a conversation about resources. Let's sit down. We all shared the same goal of reducing violent crime. And I've got a governor who said publicly, hey, if we can be of assistance, we would love to have that conversation. I appreciate that. Governor DeSantis has been a working member of our community, and he's raising his family here. I've had the pleasure of having him attend local events with us, which has not happened with several governors in the past couple of years. He's trying really hard to be a good community partner with his family, and I appreciate it. So now we've got exciting news with the new police chief coming in town. I look forward to Chief Gilliam getting settled in. I look forward to the collective, which is all the law enforcement agencies in our community, getting together and talking about. And I think there's always room at the table for more agencies to be there. And if there is a new creative approach to fighting violent crime, I'm all in. And I would be willing to bet you wouldn't find a single mayor across the state of Florida that wouldn't accept that invitation as well.
Well, given the fact that there is not only in this community but elsewhere – the source of a lot of the weaponry coming from folks who just don't lock their freaking cars and they leave their firearms in their vehicle.
Right.
I know any way to work with the state government on that to perhaps put some additional teeth if, you know, your weapon is then subsequently used in a crime and you did not secure it, there may be some responsibility you need to.
Well, that's an interesting point that I haven't given much thought about. That would be taken up on the state level. But, you know, I talk to my friends all the time because people come from all different walks of life and everybody loves Tallahassee and they want to help move the needle. And they ask, what can I do? And I tell my friends, especially those that have a carry permit or own firearms. This is not a Second Amendment debate. Nobody's coming to take your guns away or try to regulate your guns. But we do have a public campaign in Leon County. And that is, if you own a firearm, be a responsible owner. At night, take your firearm inside and properly lock it up. During the day, if you take it back out, we understand. But I ask people all the time, would you leave a wallet, a purse? Would you leave a cell phone? Would you leave your laptop computer in the car? Please don't leave your firearm in the car as well. Take it inside with you, properly lock it up. That actually could have a truly significant positive impact on violent crime in our community. We do not have a situation where I have been told by law enforcement where people are running guns to Tallahassee. No, these are breaking and entering in Tallahassee out of cars and taking handguns that are being used later on in other offenses. So we can come together as a community, and one of the easiest and most important things we could do is just be responsible owners.
Well, let's jump off the commission for a second, because you and your colleagues also sit on the Blueprint Agency.
That's
as
right.
Well. And, gosh, I remember one of the more recent Blueprint meetings you all had. This was back a little bit ago. You had the folks from looking at the Walani extension, and you had the folks from the FAMU Way extension, and they were coming at you guys with pitchforks and flaming torches in some cases here. What's the status of those projects, and how do you see building some more consensus within those two areas for however it ultimately falls out?
Sure. Well, the Intergovernmental Agency is a great example of true democracy. The projects that are funded and brought to fruition are actually approved by referendum by the citizens of Leon County. There's a whole process, a multi-year process that leads up to that vote, where people vet the projects and see if they want to self-tax in order to pay for those projects. And they've been truly successful over the past. And we as a community just re-upped for sales tax 2020 to be able to move forward. These projects are also difficult. If they were easy, we would have done them already. And yes, you always want to have public involvement, because you cannot just leave it to the elected lay people to always have the answers. In regards to FAMU Way, yeah, we are moving forward. It's an incredible project. If you look at it's the continuation of Cascades Park all the way down. It's a very important water project as well. And I'm very pleased that we're moving forward with it. The Walani project has been a fascinating project to not only be a part of, but also to work with people. I know that the Clarin Homeowners Association has been very, very positively involved. I know that there was a meeting, I think, just the other night with the Clarin Homeowners Association. It looks like that we've got some great positive results that we're all going to be able to wrap our arms around to be able to move forward. And that's what it's all about. You elect us not to just go in and rubber stamp here and rubber stamp there, but really roll up our sleeves, work with the public, and bring together all of the people so that we can collectively make a decision. Now, granted, in a representative democracy, the final vote is with the electeds on the board. But we've got a pretty good track record, and I'm willing to bet that Wilani is going to end up the same way, where at the end of the day, we're going to have that public hearing. And you might get some people that say, well, I don't like all of it, but boy, I'm pleased with this end result that we can all agree upon.
Recalling what happened with the infamous Blairstone Road extension controversy, where you had folks who were coming out of the woodwork howling and shrieking about that project, its impact on protected wetlands and so forth, and now it's one of the beauty spots of the city when it comes to a thoroughfare.
That's right. That's right. So, growth is not always the easiest thing to handle. We need to make sure that we do it appropriately. We have to protect our environment as we move forward. But it's important for us to plan. And not just 5 years out or 10 years out, but where will we be as a community 20 years from now, 30 years from now? With appropriate growth, with the appropriate mindset and the right people, we can accomplish our goals. We truly can.
Can you say Airport Gateway? That's another one you folks are going to have to wrestle with here, too. And already I'm seeing some opposition building to certain proposals that have been floated as to the ultimate route of that.
Well, I can't speak to the specific opposition that you referenced because I haven't had the chance to sit down with them and fully hear everything that they have to say. But I am excited about the Airport Gateway. I think it's an amazing opportunity to truly connect the airport with downtown Tallahassee. I think that we've got a unique opportunity for economic development and expansion, but at the same time, we have to be mindful of the environmental impact and protecting the neighborhoods as well. I do think we'll get there. I really do.
All right. We are talking to Tallahassee Mayor John Daly here on Perspectives. Your input welcome as well. We were talking about public input, and this is a great way to do it at 850-414-1234. Send us an email, perspectives@wfsu.org. Something that just always jumps out at me during the political season especially, or even just during the legislative session, is when you start picking up on all of the advocacy ads that are running on TV statewide.
Sure.
And it's always, you know, well, the politicians in Tallahassee, you know, just, you know, why are you blaming us? You know, we happen to be the state capital where this takes place. But do we have an image problem statewide, do you think, because of this?
Well, I think, unfortunately, most people around the state think of Tallahassee as only being the state capital and state business. The truth is, Tallahassee is such an incredible community. I mean, we have been named in so many different magazines and in so many different organizations as the best of this and the best of that, one of the 10 best cities in the South, nationally recognized for our beauty, for our municipal services. I mean, you know as well as I do that Tallahassee is great. Yes, unfortunately, though, I think that there are a lot of people that just associate Tallahassee only with the state capital. And the truth is, there's only a small number of residents out of the entire population that play in that field of the state government. But nonetheless, I am proud to be the state capital, you know, the city of Tallahassee. For 195 years, we have been the capital of either the territory of La Floridia or of the state of Florida. In fact, in 5 years, we celebrate our bicentennial. That's a big, important year that we will be celebrating not only our history, but where we are and where we're going. And we're actually planning for that now.
That is going to be an exciting event for sure. But the other thing we can celebrate is the fact that a piece of legislation that was floated yet once again in the last legislative session to move the Capitol to Central Florida didn't get a final committee hearing and died.
No. And I have personally reached out to Senator Rader's office to schedule a meeting and come by and introduce myself and say hi. Have not heard back yet, but I do look forward to that. But no, I have heard from many individuals involved with the legislative process and the executive branch that is not an option that they are interested in entertaining.
I'm just thinking, what would the expense be and the logistics to physically move the seat of state government today? It would be, I mean, fiscally, it would be, to my way of thinking, the height of irresponsibility to spend all that money just so, you know, they could get maybe, I don't know, a cheaper ride into the Capitol from
right.
where they are.
Now, if that is truly the issue, then I would challenge Senator Rader and the leadership to work with the city of Tallahassee with the state contract for airfare to see if we can get more air travel in and out, which then would positively impact everybody that flies in and out of Tallahassee. I think that there are other ways for us to accomplish the goals of those legislative leaders that are interested in moving. Why are you interested in moving? Accessibility. All right, well, let's don't move the Capitol. That's not something that's actually going to happen. But if you're serious about the issue, let's look at how we can improve the Tallahassee Airport through the state contract and get more people flying in and out. I think it goes back to thinking creatively outside the box. It's relationships. It's working with our state partners to accomplish similar goals.
And it seems to that point that right now what we're dealing with are some systemic changes within the airline industry overall, and not just what is impacting Tallahassee International Airport. Air travel is down nationally.
But air travel at City of Tallahassee Airport is up. We have seen the numbers go up. We've seen ridership go up. You've seen a slight dip in the prices out there. I'm not going to go and say, oh, well, they're dropping, you know, tremendously. But we're seeing the right direction. The airport is one of my focuses, one of my primary focuses. We actually have an incredible airport. Not many people in Tallahassee realize that our municipal airport is the number one municipal airport in the state of Florida. Our municipal airport executive director was named the best municipal airport executive director. I mean, we've got the right leadership. We have got a great airport, and we are ripe for expansion. We are ripe for economic development expansion, which is my number one priority at the airport right now. And we are working really hard to use the assets that we have out there to truly bring the experience that people want flying in and out of the airport. Obviously, a key component of that is trying to always drive down the price of commercial flights. That is always one of our top priorities, and we'll continue to work on it.
And we will continue our discussion with Tallahassee Mayor John Daly in just a moment here on Perspectives. Again, you are always welcome to call 850-414-1234 or email us. We got some calls coming in. We'll get to them when we return. We are back on Perspectives at the behest of the mayor of Tallahassee. It's a command performance. That's what it is.
I love coming on. I love having you on too, Mr.
Mayor. John Daly here with us. And let's add Kristen to the conversation here. And let's see, if you could get my headphones up there too, Evan, that would be really helpful. We're down on this end here. You may have to send the feed in a little bit more, not getting a... There we are. We are back on. So let's say hi to Kristen on line one here on Perspectives. Hey, Kristen, how you doing?
Great. How about you?
Oh, could not be doing better. Thanks for giving us a call.
Well, I just had a question for Mayor Daly. I was... my fiance and I live in Killarn, and we were unfortunately one of the ones whose cars were burglarized, as well as four other people on our street, and it's been an ongoing issue. And, you know, we're typically very, you know, particular about it, but... You know, one-time occasion. But anyway, obviously, a gun was not stolen from our car.
Sure.
It was just, you know, a few personal items, laptop, et cetera. But what we were told by law enforcement whenever we reported the crime is that the state attorney's office will not prosecute. Apparently, law enforcement knows exactly who these individuals are, how they operate. But since there is no hope of prosecuting, they consider it a nuisance crime, and it's just a written report, and that's it. And my question is it seems kind of a silly tack to take because, you know, right now, it's a nuisance crime because it's just a laptop. But, you know, what if it's a gun? If it's a nuisance crime that turns into a violent crime, it seems like it would probably behoove, you know, the state attorney's office and the city to kind of push for prosecution of those kind of crimes. It's kind of a gateway of sorts. And is that something that you can push for?
Kristen, I appreciate you calling in. And Killarn's a great area. I grew up in Killarn, matter of fact. And I love that neighborhood. I am not familiar with that line of thinking. Jack Campbell, the state attorney, is a great partner with us. And I know that he, along with the law enforcement collective, is actively working to move the needle on violent crime and breaking and entering in our community. In fact, if you just noticed a couple of weeks ago, I think it was reported that we had a major arrest of 12 individuals on the south side. We are pulling our assets together. And we are aggressively going after it. I'm sorry about the information that you received, but that is not my understanding, nor is it our intent on how we address both breaking and entering and violent crime in this community. We are proactively moving forward. Now, I will tell you, one of the challenges that we have at Taos Police Department is we need to hire more officers. We're down several positions, and we do need to aggressively recruit. I know that that is one of the major focuses of Chief Gilliam coming in, is to make sure that we have the officers necessary to keep this community safe, and we're committed to that goal.
There was something else that I was thinking of along that line, Mr. Mayor, and that had to do with a number of recent reports we had gotten from both Tallahassee Police and also Leon County Sheriff's Office. As some of the folks who were involved in these primarily auto burglaries, it's like they follow them and wait till there's a critical mass and then swoop in and make the arrest because they get a more substantial prosecution out of it rather than just one or two instances. And so we have seen some of these folks, and they're young men, let's face it, taken off the street after a string of these things. So apparently there's still prosecution going on with them. We're not sure exactly how that works out. But that's something we can talk to the chief and maybe Sheriff McNeil about too.
Absolutely. And I'm not an attorney. I don't know the ins and outs of prosecution and how it works. I will also say this, is that we're not going to police our way out of the situation too. It is also a community conversation that we have to have with the young people of our community, starting as early as middle school, talking about why are we committing the nonviolent breaking and entering, and what can we do as a community to make sure that, A, you are educated, but, two, there are other opportunities available. I'll give you a prime example. City of Tallahassee, we have the Tempo program. The Tempo program actually is one of the biggest success stories, and we do not do a good enough job promoting in Tallahassee. We proactively go out literally on the streets and try to find disadvantaged youth. We bring them into the Tempo program. It is a paid internship. We provide exposure all over to the city of Tallahassee of different businesses, different lines of work. We also employ them within the city of Tallahassee. We teach life skills. About half of the students that have graduated from the program came in with some type of brush of law enforcement. We have had zero recidivism with 600 graduates, Tom. These are the type of programs that truly make a difference. We need to rapidly expand it. We need to get a hold of our young people in this community and say, hey, there are great opportunities out there besides just, you know, during your downtime checking cars and breaking in and trying to get this and that. And we need to have that community conversation as well. You cannot just police your way out of the situation.
I got a follow-up to that, but let's get to Jack first here. He's been waiting patiently online, too, for us. Hi, Jack. Welcome to Perspectives. Yeah, go ahead, Jack.
Yes, hi. I'm here to tell a good news story to the mayor and your listeners, Tom. So we moved here temporarily to Tallahassee 42 years ago. And our first exposure to Tallahassee was an education for my wife. But then when our boys came, we decided to stay, and there's not been a day of regret. The leadership that we have seen from communities around Tallahassee, the business, the philanthropic community, has been nothing short of astonishing, especially for families and families with children. Mayor, your leadership on setting the foundation for the upcoming Children's Service Council initiative is an example of some very ardent, assiduous looking at the facts and realizing that other communities have invested in Children's Service Council, so why don't we here in Leon County? So I just want to thank Tom and thank you, Mayor, for showing us the way to invest wisely, like the Tempo program and many others, Pay Center for Girls, et cetera. And this is an advocate who really believes in paying for success, and that's what we're doing. And thank you very much.
Jack, thank you so much. You made my day. Children's Services Council is an incredible movement that's going on right now. It is a bipartisan movement. People from all over the political spectrum have really wrapped around the idea of creating a Children's Services Council here. It will be on the ballot in 2020 for voter referendum approval. And the truth is, when you look across the state of Florida and you look at the other counties that have created Children's Services Councils, and you see the metrics, the measured positive success stories that have come out of those communities and how they have been able to make a positive impact is just absolutely amazing. And I think that our future is so bright with a Children's Services Council in our near future and being able to move forward. And I've just been so pleased and honored to work with incredible men and women from all over the community that share this vision, and cannot wait to see it come to fruition.
Another linkage to that, which we were, what a perfect segue here. The purpose-built community now down around Orange Avenue. And I talked to a friend of yours who I think you referred to me, a gentleman who was the head of the YMCA Association.
John Trombetta.
John's great. We're going to do a story with him here real soon.
That's great.
But the Y, no longer in the brick and mortar, hey, come on and work out at our gym business,
right,
is now refocusing its efforts on more life skills and mentorship and that kind of thing. So what's the deal on Orange Avenue with our purpose-built community?
Yeah, I think it's great. I have actually been to Atlanta to see the purpose-built facility up there, and it's absolutely amazing. You know, in the 21st century, we've got to take a different approach to our issues. It is unfair, as mayor of Tallahassee, to look and say, well, third grade reading levels, that's the problem of the school board because they handle K through 12 education. No, just the opposite. I have as much skin in the game because they are citizens of Tallahassee and we all benefit. That's just like saying healthcare, well, the county is the official arm of the state of Florida by way of the Florida Constitution. Therefore, they are in the healthcare business. No, we all have an interest in good healthcare for all members of our community here. Same thing with violent crime. School district in the county obviously have just as much of an interest. So when we look at purpose-built communities, we look at housing issues. We look at educational issues. We look at wraparound services, whether it's, you know, helping a mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle better their lives through continuing education after hours on campus, the educational standards of a new school and what that brings, the housing associated around that school so that kids can walk to and from, the transportation of getting around town but also getting to school. It's a holistic approach of how we can help the next generation move forward.
You can't do a whole lot when it comes to the free market protocol of setting whether it's rental rates or housing prices or all that, but still affordable housing is a biggie in this community with the ever-rising push that you have from places like College Town. There are some apartments down there that are going for $3,000 a month.
Yeah, well, you know, when I was in college, I lived with 20 of my best friends in a two-bedroom house.
There
right?
You go, yeah.
But you're right, and I think that's a whole nother conversation talking about the college market and what families are willing to pay for their students to attend universities. But no doubt, affordable housing and workforce housing is a tremendous issue here in Tallahassee, and it is a priority of not only the Tallahassee City Commission but also the Frenchtown Southside CRA. One of the things that we have done moving forward is, first, we have dedicated over $1 million to housing in regards to the purpose-built community facility geographically down in that particular area of Orange Avenue. It's a great first step. And we've also dedicated about $100,000 to purpose build itself to help it get it up off the ground. What the City Commission did, though, through the CRA, is we also created a land bank, which is an interesting way of moving forward. So let's take Frenchtown, for instance. The City of Tallahassee actually owns about 80 parcels in Frenchtown. These might have been vacated lots that we just took because nobody else owns them, and so they've sat vacant forever. For whatever reason, we own these lots. We own the dirt. So it goes without saying that if we own the dirt, we need to look at our community partners. Now, the role of a CRA is infrastructure, roads, streetlights, sidewalks, sewer lines, electrical lines, making sure that we have the proper infrastructure. The role of the CRA is also housing. So we took steps at the last CRA meeting to dedicate $1 million to work with our community partners on the land that we already owned to build affordable housing units that then can be turned around and sold to private families and give them an incredible opportunity of home ownership. It takes that bold vision, and sometimes, you know, you get a little pushback, but the plan that we have in place to move forward has been wildly accepted, and I think it's going to be a really good first step. If you look at the Greater Bond Neighborhood Association plan as well, that one of the first votes we took as a CRA was to dedicate $6.5 billion to the Greater Bond Neighborhood Association. You know, a significant portion of that funding is also for affordable housing. We need literally 10,000 units in Tallahassee to meet the demand. Can you do that in a year? No. But we need to be doing more than what we are currently doing. And I think that with the land bank that we have created, the dollars that we're setting aside, and truly identifying through a planning perspective where the land is available, what land we already own, what's already zoned residential, how does it fit in with design standards to the existing neighborhoods, we can make a positive impact.
And perhaps that's where some of the speculation came the other night at the second and final TPD site location meeting, that perhaps that might be the future for the current police headquarters, is to demolish that structure and maybe affordable housing is in that site's future.
Redevelopment is a great thing and the sky is the limit. Absolutely, Tom.
Okay. I mean, after all, Midtown is that's a hot place right now.
It is. It's a great opportunity.
Looking ahead, Mr. Mayor, to 2020, what are your priorities personally as you sit on the commission and look at all these issues we've been yakking about for the past 45 minutes?
First and foremost, the city of Tallahassee is going to continue to provide world-class municipal services. That is why we exist. That's why cities exist. We want to protect the quality of life here, and we want to make sure that every resident that is a citizen of Tallahassee receives those world-class services. I think that's what makes us so special. When we get to specific issues, public safety and violent crime is number one. We're going to start off on a great foot with the new police chief, Antonio Gilliam. The morale at the police department is extremely high. We are all excited. The collective is ready to get to work. We are moving forward with the police station. We are going to bring new creative ideas to the table under his leadership on how we can address violent crime in this community. That is priority number one. We also need to work really hard on economic development, along with environmental protection, to be able to move this community forward. We need to support the local businesses that we have, but at the same time, create new opportunities. In that realm, the airport is a tremendous opportunity for us to really move forward with light manufacturing and those aeronautical industries that are looking for a home. We've got the raw land and access to the airport. The Northwood Center is an absolutely unbelievable opportunity, and I think history is going to look back on the city of Tallahassee and show that that was one of the smartest moves that the commission could have made. We acquired 37 acres, basically in the heart of Tallahassee, for $2 million under the appraised value. We will eventually completely tear down the mall that is currently there. It is zoned appropriately to basically build a new neighborhood, build a neighborhood in conjunction with a police department, if that's what we decide to do, mixed-use retail. But economic development should be a true priority for this community as well as we move forward. So providing world-class services, continuing what we do, and expanding services that we have, public safety, and economic development.
There's a rumor on the street that you can't throw a yard sale without John Daly showing up and just glad-handing everyone and making sure everything's okay. In the moment we have left.
I don't know about yard sales, Don.
How do you balance all this, though? Yep, yeah, I mean, your wife, Jenny, is a fantastic person. You got two great guys there as kids. How do you keep all this together?
The first year, I'll be honest with you, was a little difficult because we had a new commission. We're setting a new tone with a new direction. We've had so much going on in Tallahassee for the past couple of years. We collectively, as a commission, know that it was very important to be out and about, to be seen, to be accessible, to try to reach and touch as many people and events that we possibly could to help set that new tone. I think that we have done a really good job moving in that direction. So now that we have 1 year under our belt, you know, I'm trying to bring a little bit more normalcy back into the personal life. I mean, being mayor of Tallahassee is, a 90-hour-a-week part-time job, it seems like at times. It's nights, it's weekends, and everything. But Jenny and I do try to strive as much as we possibly can to maintain somewhat of a normal family lifestyle for our kids. That is very important. First and foremost, before anything else, I'm a dad and I'm a husband. And we strive for that each and every day. It is challenging. Breakfast is very important to us because a lot of times we might have night events. And so breakfast is the time that we get together. I still drop the kids off every day, every morning at school, and still active in, you know, scouts and soccer and church. And it is a working balance, but it is a challenge at this point in my life that I accept.
Tallahassee's well-balanced mayor, John Daly, our guest on Perspectives. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Sure appreciate it. And don't talk to you before. Happy holidays and Happy New Year to you, sir.
You too. Thanks for having me on, Tom.
Perspectives produced by WFSU Public Media in Tallahassee. Evan Rossi and Lydell Rawls back behind the glass today. And I'm Tom Flanagan. We're off next week. Our end-of-year pledge drive will return the following week with more conversation right here on Perspectives. Have a good day.
Perspectives is a production of WFSU Public Media. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcasts.